This episode is presented by Invest Puerto Rico. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Hello and welcome back to Equity, the TechCrunch podcast, where we unpack the numbers and the nuance behind the headlines. This is Alex, and today is April 17th, 2024. Welcome to our Wednesday show, where we dig into the critical startup and venture capital stories from the week thus far. Today on the show, we have an absolutely packed list that I'm very excited about. We're going to start with two startup rounds that caught my eye. They are in very different markets. An IPO update, an $11 billion bonanza for space startups, two new venture capital funds that I think are both pretty darn interesting, and then to close, that mammoth Andreessen Horowitz haul. Let's go. First up is a startup that I keep saying is two chains, but actually it's not. It's two chairs, and it just raised a Series C. Let's talk about it. So Two Chairs started off life as a startup that wanted to use a matching algorithm to connect people to therapists that they would then see IRL. Then COVID-19 happened and the whole world went online, so the company was forced to reconsider its face-to-face focus. Now, the adoption of the remote-first treatment model has helped the company grow faster and, we think as well, less expensively than it would have had it continued to emphasize seeing patients in person. And the company says that its revenue expanded eightfold in the last 3 years. That's the type of growth that every VC wants to see. Now, today, Two Chairs has 500 therapists that see patients virtually, and that Series C I mentioned is worth $72 million. And it's a blend of equity and debt. Now, why does a virtual therapy network need debt? Well, Two Chairs has an interesting twist on the therapy startup formula. As TechCrunch reports, and I quote, CEO Alex Katz says the primary difference between his company and other virtual behavioral health platforms, including Talkspace and Teladoc-owned BetterHelp, is that Two Chairs employs, quote, the vast majority of its therapists, while most competitors contract with their clinicians. Hiring people costs more money. If you need more money, debt's cheaper than equity if you can afford it. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And given that my view is that therapy is good and that we could all be a little bit better than we are, I dig this round. From saving ourselves to saving the planet, let's talk about Quilt, a climate tech company that just raised a big Series A. I love Tim DeShant. He's one of TechCrunch's best. He covers climate tech for us, and he has an absolute soft spot for heat pumps. I mean, the market does too, but Tim does as well. Enter Quilt, which is focusing on, you guessed it, heat pumps. Now, Tim writes that heat pumps actually outsold gas furnaces for the second year running, and that homeowners in the U.S. who install them are eligible for thousands of dollars in incentives under the Inflation Reduction Act. Pretty bullish for heat pumps overall. That said, the market still has some issues, one of which is that heat pumps are just different enough from existing heating and air conditioning setups to give consumers pause. So what Quilt wants to do is offer a sleeker design that can be installed in more places around a room than what its competitors offer. And in anticipation of its forthcoming product introduction, Quilt raised a massive $33 million Series A led by Energy Impact Partners and Galvanized Climate Solutions. It's a big Series A for this market, and also notably, it comes just a year after it raised an $8 million seed round. So investors are pretty bullish on what Quilt has cooking. My view is this: heating and cooling are only going to become more important around the world as our climate changes, and the sheer amount of electricity that we are spending on indoor climate control is rising and is getting to be a little bit scary. So alternative solutions sound pretty good. Though I'll leave you with a question. Why is this startup called Quilt? Let's leave the early stage and go all the way to the very end of startup life and talk about IPOs, and we have two that are coming up. First up, Rubrik, which is working on data management and security, and then there's Ibotta, which is a rewards technology business. Now, the news this week is that Rubrik expects to list its shares on the New York Stock Exchange, or the NYSE, at a price of between $28 and $31 per share. That's according to a filing it dropped earlier this week. The company is worth about $5.2 billion at the midpoint end of its anticipated IPO range, and that goes up to about $5.4 billion at the top. And that means that this is actually an up IPO from Rubrik's final private price. We should get more data as the company looks to list next week, but it all looks pretty good for Rubrik thus far. And then there is Ibotta, which is expected to price after the bell today and then trade tomorrow. It filed for a larger offering earlier in the week, boosting the number of shares that will be sold in its IPO, though the increase is only from existing shareholders. Ibotta still plans to sell the same 2.5 million new shares in the deal. More on that Friday when we get some data. I love an IPO. What's next in tech? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's an innovations paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/TechCrunch. All right, let's put down all things terrestrial, point our eyes at the stars, and talk about space, because NASA Administrator Bill Nelson has pronounced the agency's $11 billion 15-year mission to collect and return samples from Mars is insufficient. Nelson said that, quote, the bottom line is an $11 billion budget is too expensive and a 2040 return date is too far away. We need to look outside the box to find a way ahead that is both affordable and return samples in a reasonable time frame. This means that they're going to go out and talk to industry, which means startups can take a bite out of that $11 billion apple. I think this is awesome. I love that NASA said, hey, we can't do this. We're going to go out and get help. What's out there in the private market? And I'm hoping that there are a bunch of startups that have technology that can accelerate our mission to Mars so we can bring back Martian rocks and stare at them here on Earth. Go get that cash, startups. Next up, venture capital news in three parts. First up, Bay Bridge Ventures is raising $200 million for a new climate fund. This comes at a time when investors do seem to be quite a bit more bullish on climate tech. Just for example, SOSV announced a $306 million deep tech fund earlier this week that is going to be 70% focused on climate. Then there's New Summit Investments, which is raising a $100 million fund. And Congruent Ventures last year put together a $275 million fund, turning down $325 million in additional LP interest at the same time. So I presume that given that kind of background, Bay Bridge Ventures should be able to raise its climate fund pretty quickly. If they do and they fill it out, we'll bring that to you at that time. Moving along, former senior SpaceX executive Tom Occhionero is teaming up with SpaceX alum turned VC Achal Upadhya and one of Sequoia's top finance leaders, Spencer Hemphill, on a new venture called Interlagos Capital. TechCrunch has learned SpaceX, of course, is a company that has many spinoffs over the years. Here's one more. But the big VC story this week is that Andreessen Horowitz has raised $7.2 billion in new funds. This was announced in a post from Ben Horowitz entitled New Funds, New Era. But if you know Andreessen as a place that raises lots of money, it seems like new funds, same era. Here's the breakdown. $3.75 billion for growth investments. The FT does note that that sum is lower than Andreessen Horowitz's 2021 era $5 billion growth fund, but I think the differential makes good sense. $1.25 billion for AI infrastructure, $1 billion for AI apps, $600 million for American dynamism, which is, you know, defense tech and so forth here in the States, and then $600 million for gaming. Now, where's the money for crypto? Well, there isn't actually a need for a new crypto fund given how big the last Andreessen Horowitz crypto fund was back in 2022. I think the numbers that we just ran through show how much cheaper growth investing is today, and perhaps most importantly, that Andreessen Horowitz still has the magic touch when it comes to fundraising. I want to know how, though. So what we need are some solid leaks on its last couple of funds' performance, because I am so curious what you have to have as a track record recently to raise this much money for your next set of funds. All right, friends, that is our show for this lovely Wednesday morning. Of course, Equity is back on Friday with our news roundtable roundup. We'll kick through the biggest news, including just what's going on over at Rippling. But if you need more from us in the meantime, we are Equity Pod over on X and Threads. I'm Alex. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Equity is hosted by myself, Alex Wilhelm, and TechCrunch senior reporter, Mary Ann Azevedo. We are produced by Teresa Loconsolo with editing by Kel. Bryce Durbin is our illustrator, and a big thank you to the audience development team and Henry Picavet, who manages TechCrunch audio products. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.